You're listening to the What You Doin' Wilmington podcast, your favorite podcast, highlighting the positive people, places, and things in the beautiful city of Wilmington, North Carolina. Hosted by Demia Avery. I see you, we see you, and it's great to be seen. Great to be seen. Great to be seen.
Hello, 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 everyone. This is Demia Avery with What You Doin' North Carolina. And this podcast is designed to shed light on the positive people, places, and things here in the beautiful state of North Carolina. Well, this used to be What You Could Do in Wilmington, so I get it confused all the time. So I open it up to North Carolina. So welcome, welcome, welcome. So listen, today we have a very special guest that I couldn't be more excited about. This is another career highlight for me. So I'm so excited. Our special guest today is a serial entrepreneur, chairman for numerous companies and organizations, an award-winning producer, author, CEO of Solidify Productions, and this year's recipient of the North Carolina Black Film Festival's 2024 Renaissance Award. Welcome, Mr. BK Filton. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. I am so honored to be here.
Oh, we are honored to have you. First of all, I wanted to make sure I congratulate you once again on your honor to be held at the NC Black Film Festival Award. How excited this must be for you. What does this mean for you? This award mean for you?
Well, thank you so much. It means a lot. I mean, it means that people appreciate the work and they see what we're doing to try to spread love, try to lift our community as we climb. And sometimes, you know, you're just kind of doing your thing and you wonder if people are paying attention. And then you get a recognition like this and it checks a box that says, yeah, they're paying attention.
That's right. That's right. And now I imagine you win lots of awards. So does this particular one mean something different to you? Because I hear people say that all the time. They're like, okay, I get this award, but this particular award means a lot. Does this mean a lot for you?
It always means a lot to me when it comes from family. I mean, my folk are from North Carolina. We have some projects that mention Wilmington in particular. Oh. Yeah, and so when the people who are the closest to you, your tribe, says, well done.
Right.
It does have a special meaning too.
I love it. I love it. Now, I do want to talk about your journey. So I was doing a little research on you and I found that you didn't start out in the media industry. You actually came from a corporate world. Am I correct in saying that?
That is correct.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about the corporate side of you.
Wow. So I used to run a little phone company called Verizon. People might have heard of that.
A little corporate.
A little something. Yeah. Something. Mm-hmm. But really the journey began even before that. So I was an engineering and architecture student at Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia. And it was too many beautiful women like yourself and too much basketball to play. And brother was having a good time and engineering was a little hard on the brain at times. And so I might've missed a class or two. And that is not a good formula for success. And so I almost flunked out and I went to the library to plan my escape. Mm-hmm. And got in the library and in the E-185 section, that's the section of the Dewey Decimal System on Black people. Okay. And I picked up a book about Lewis Latimer. Now, I think it was divine. The library is 2 million volumes, 5 stories. And the first book I picked up was a book that spoke to my soul. And it told me that I could do it. Lewis was the person that invented the part of lights that glow.
Okay.
And I said, whoa, his family's from my state. I can do this. Mm-hmm. And I picked up another book about another brother. I'm like, uh-oh, all right, he invented that and sold a patent to General Electric in 1901? What? Mm-hmm. And so I went from the probations list to the dean's list to the board of directors at Virginia Tech, where they're flying me in a jet to govern the school.
Yeah.
So what I realized then was, you know, now fast forward to the corporate world, and I thought back when I was about to retire, and I said, if reading about our sheroes and heroes could put my life on rocket boosters. What would happen if I put it on the big screen with great actors and great script and great music? I might be able to change the world. I might be able to get people to believe in themselves in the way that I learned to believe in myself. And that makes all the difference. I mean, a lot of people are walking around geniuses and don't even know how talented they are
I call them
because
walking millionaires. Walking.
walking millionaires, somebody somewhere told them, you got a learning disability, or you can't do this, or you can't do that. And they embrace it.
Yeah.
And then it holds them from their promise for most of their lives, if not all of their lives. What I'm really trying to do is to unleash the power in everyone, because I believe that when we all are the best version of ourselves, it resolves in love. And that love accelerates the cure for cancer, accelerates the problems that we face, accelerates the good in the world. And
Yeah.
then that's when the magic happens.
Now, did you start now just listening to your story? Did you start in the media world? Did you start that later in your life? Like when I say later, I mean like age-wise. Did you start that later?
I thought I did until I did this interview one time, and I was talking about this writing that my mom sent me when I was a kid, and my mom said that I was writing, kindergarten, first grade, and so I opened up the thing in the middle of the interview, and it talked about going to the movies and taking my family to the movies. So there was a spark early on. I think I wrote my first poem when I was 16,
Okay.
and then I published it in 2015 when I retired. And actually, Nikki Giovanni did the cover quote on the back of it.
Oh.
And so I've always kind of dabbled in writing, and then the media stuff probably got more formed when I worked at America Online. Then we did a transaction with Time Warner,
Okay.
and so as a kid, I loved the movies, but working in corporate, in a business that included HBO, Warner Brothers, Time Magazine, all that stuff, it showed me in another way, the power of this industry. Media always punches above its weight. We can have this conversation, but because we're going to use the tools of our time and push it out, more people will get the experience. And so
Okay. Okay.
that's what media can do. And so those corporate experiences, my own personal experience with having read those powerful stories and those things changing my life, all that stuff was the soup that came together that gave me my superpower.
Well, with that superpower, how did you trans, how did you transition into from the corporate world to into the film and TV and things like that.
Well, the nice thing about the film, TV, movie space, it only requires a little bit of money. And so, and if you do the corporate thing right, you can usually earn a little bit of money. So then, I was writing checks in the beginning and assembling people and learning the business. And now that I've learned the business, I still write checks, but I'm more strategic and make a better investment. And so I think that, the transition was when I retired, I had more time. The creative space is a time-consuming space, whether you're writing a book or you're writing a script or you're involved with reviewing someone else's work for a stage production on Broadway, it requires time. And it's about 24 hours in a day. And so what really helped me with the transition was, one, I had a passion for it, but two, had a little bit of resource, had some really great coaches and mentors, and I had the time to get into it with both feet.
So how life-changing was that for you? I mean, because that's even though you okay, now you have the experience with corporate, you have a little bit of money, right? You got a little bit of money now. So now it's about changing your daily things. So how life-changing was that for you and your family?
What's interesting is The change has been the number of people that recognize the work. I did a book last year called The Blueprint, and it dropped at number one in the media space in Hollywood. And it tells the story, but it also has some of my old speeches. And I went back and read some of those speeches, and I was the same guy back then, believing in people, wanting to help, et cetera. So the good thing about retiring and then going into this business is that if it didn't work out, my life wouldn't really be materially different. What is good though is that because people are recognizing and seeing it, and the movies show up all over the world, the people travel to New York to see the Broadway shows, some of them we take on the road, then people get to see the art. And so people want to help, and they want to they want me to read their work. And I mean, I got this lady in Barbados. She don't know it yet, but I'm probably gonna help her and her daughter. They got some gospel songs. I love
Oh,
gospel.
nice.
And so they're sending some stuff to me to review. And so it's positioned me to be in a position to be a drum major for others. I mean, I think part of the genius in the world is being able to recognize the genius in others. Sometimes we got to figure out how to get out of our own way as we awaken and be a part of, be a catalyst for awakening others. Again, I genuinely believe that when we bring the best version of ourselves, it resolves in love. So for my family, myself, being in the creative space is fun, you know, because I mean, you get calls from famous people, and at some point, I guess you become a famous person. I'm still kind of wrapping my head around that. But for the most part, though, it's consistent with who we are. We spread in love, and we hope others feel it, and we feel it ourselves.
I love that, and I love the drum major. I love what you said about that. Now, is that the reason why you started Solidify?
It is absolutely. I wanted to create a production company that would allow me to focus my energy on the industry, particularly film, Broadway, and writing. And so we're 21 movies in, 20 books, four number one shows on Broadway. So that's not too bad in, you know,
Not bad
7 years.
at all, right? So look, you know what? I was looking at some of your films, so I was being a little nosy. So I went into
It's
your
all right.
I went onto your site, and I was like, okay. So just some of your films that you have been involved with, production wise, and I was blown away. So just to name a few, The Kill Room, starring Uma Thurman, Samuel Jackson,
Yeah.
that was picked at the Cannes Film
It
Fest.
was.
A Day to Die, starring Bruce Willis, River Runs Red, starring Taye Diggs, John Cusack, and George Lopez. The list goes on and on and on. How does it feel? And what does that accomplishment feel like to have worked with, well, on some great projects and with some amazing actors? What does that feel like for you?
It always feels good. And then, you know, I love it when the talent and our regular people, and some of these people I've become close friends with. And you know, one of the things that we all have to pinch ourselves sometimes is that you run into kind of famous people, and they're on TV or in movies. And you wonder what they're going to be like in real life. And then when you get to meet them, and the pinch yourself moment is when they're actually regular folk. And so people like Leon or Malik Yoba, Whoopi Goldberg, people like that have become friends. And they're kind people. They're actually good human beings. Jeffrey Wright, good human being. And,
Amazing actor.
oh, absolutely. That goes without saying, you
A
know. But on top of that,
great
or
friend.
in addition to that, there are all these other attributes. And you begin to appreciate why they are so talented and so sought after and so believable. It's because these people haven't got to a place where they're looking down their nose at us. And so that is refreshing. because it's things like that that give me hope about our species. Because sometimes human beings can be some rascals, and you get a little famous, get a little popular, get a little money. All of a sudden, their heads start getting big. You can't even hardly fit in the house. But my favorite actors and actresses, directors, are people that can walk with kings and yet maintain the common touch.
Love it, love it. So I have a couple of quick fun questions to ask, if you don't mind answering.
I don't mind.
Okay, so if you had it your way, what actor would you love to work with and why?
Oh my, you catching me off. I thought you said it was gonna be easy.
That's fun. That's easy and fun. Well, if you had it your way.
If I had it my way, I think right now I'd probably pick Beyonce,
Okay.
because I feel like she is such an amazing talent, and people haven't seen enough of her on the big screen, in my view.
Right.
I think, we've seen others. Especially, people who are kind of polymaths or multi-genius across many spectrum and many disciplines. And clearly she's killing the music. I mean, she's doing country now, and everything she touched turns to gold. And I think she would be a great lead. And she pours herself into her work. And so her work ethic is really powerful. And I like to be around people that are at the top of their game. And so probably, I mean, right now I'm thinking Beyonce. And also, I guess last time we saw her in a big project was with Cadillac Records. And she was playing, I guess, the Etta James character. But I've got a couple of projects that I think she'd be wonderful for.
Okay. Now, if you had your way, what film would you have loved to have written or would have been the producer of?
That one that already exists, the one that's not in existence yet.
One that had existed.
And one that had existed that I wish I'd have done. I wish I'd have done March of the Penguins. Because documentaries don't cost that much to make, somewhere, less than $5 million. And March of the Penguins is the highest grossing documentary of all time. So I think it made $177 million. So that's a nice
That's
return
a
on
nice, I know
$1 million
that's
dollars.
right.
So anything that performs like that. One of my favorite movies, I mean, of course, I love Star Wars. I love The Five Heartbeats by my friend Robert Townsend.
That is my favorite, one of my all-time favorites.
Exactly. It's probably on most Black folks' top 10 lists easily. Interestingly, that movie didn't do well at the box office, and it did, and so it got its fame at in the video store, and people were recommending it word of mouth. And the reason that people didn't really go see it in the theater was because the trailer was made to feel more like a music video than to show any of the tension in the film, because when that film came out, New Jack City was out, and there was a shooting in a theater. And so producers on Five Heartbeats didn't want to have any of the violent scenes because people were worried about promoting violence. And so they made the trailer, and it looked like a sappy music video. And so people didn't go see it. And Robert was like dejected. Matter of fact, they did a documentary about the making of the Five Heartbeats, and they say all this. Then at that time, Blockbuster was still around. It was like a place you could go and rent movies, and it couldn't stay on the shelf. And so that's how people really heard about the movie, through word of mouth. And now it's on most people's top 10 list.
Oh yeah, I could probably act it out. Every
Right.
character. Every character. Okay, so my last one is, what is a type of film would you be interested in producing, but you just haven't sunk your teeth into it yet?
Oh wow. A smart horror film.
Really?
I have not done a horror film. I've I, in all my research though, those films tend to be the ones that people go see, and they tend to have some of the highest returns.
Okay.
I mean, the most prolific indie projects or independent project is probably the Blair Witch Project, which cost about $250,000 and it made 250 million.
Wow.
So that, talking about a return. I mean, you think about Jordan Peele and Get Out, that really put him on the map as a filmmaker. And then he followed that on with another scary film. I think he's got another after that. And so I don't like scary movies though. And so I got a active imagination. I get the dream into me and I'd be to wake up and I'd hit somebody. And so, real talk. So I haven't ventured into the hard thing, but I think I might make a smart one where it's not so much creepy crawly that's making you jump, but it's just the situation
Got
that
it.
makes you jump and make you think, okay, it could be bad. And
Yeah.
then okay, it ain't gonna be that bad.
Pretty cool. So what are you currently working on? Is anything that you're working on now that we should be looking out for?
Sure, we've got two shows on Broadway right now, The Wiz and The Outsiders. The Outsiders got nominated for 12 Tony Awards.
Oh, shoot.
And so, yeah, so we're killing that. Working on a documentary about W.B. Du Bois that'll be on PBS. Finished up a documentary on voting called Dying to Vote. And we'll be showing that nationally. And actually, people may get a sneak peek at the North Carolina Black Film Festival if they go.
Y'all
Gotta
gotta
go, get your tickets.
go.
I would like to show that there because we got a big important election coming up, and especially Wilmington. Wilmington has some serious voting history. Wilmington is the only place in the United States where a seated government was uprooted and replaced. Only place. And it was a multi-ethnic leading local body. They got uprooted by some white supremacists, some Klan folk races. And we got to remember that freedom ain't free. And we get here with the level of freedom and enjoyment because people made sacrifices. The guy who we talk about in this film, Dying to Vote, he died on the very day that I was born. And so people sometimes make this history feel like it's ancient history. That wasn't ancient history. That was in my lifetime. And so we can't take voting for granted. We can't take each other for granted. We can't assume that people are going to act like they're supposed to act. We have to sometimes help them. And voting motivates people to, behave a little better. But if our communities don't vote, they effectively don't count.
Agreed.
And we've got to make sure that we're counted.
Agreed. Now, for a little bit, I just want to switch gears for just a second because I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about your accomplishments as an author.
Okay.
Okay.
These are gonna be easy questions or hard ones too.
No. They're easy questions. I promise. I promise.
I'm just messing with you. Ask whatever you like.
I see that you have written many children's books. Am I
I
right?
did. Yep.
But you've also written some inspiration books, if I'm not mistaken.
That is
So I
correct.
noticed that you have some range. When did you start
Yeah.
writing books? And was there like, do you have certain inspirations? You just write, when you feel certain things, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's kind of divinely inspired for the most part. I'm a very strategic person, and once I get going, it's hard to stop me. I'm pretty driven, and so with the children's books, after I'd done a few movies, I realized that we have to show our children how to win and teach them. And a study had came out that showed that if you're a minority child, you're more likely to see a cat, a dog, or a humanoid on the cover of a book than an image that you can relate to. So let me say that again. More likely to see a cat, a dog, or a humanoid, so a non-human, someone that looks like you. Now, why is that important? If a child recognizes the images on the cover of a book, identifies with them, or the characters inside a book, they are 3 to 10 times more likely to believe that they can do what that character does. So that is the importance of iconography, images, and belief. You can literally shift up someone's belief by showing them or people that look like them succeeding. They believe they can succeed too. So I wrote these books, Mr. Business, The Adventures of Little BK, and they're, 10, 11 books, to show a little black boy on the cover and then him winning in life. And it's just fun little stories. I mean, there was one grandfather who called me after he read the book to his 6-year-old grandson. And he said, "Mr. Fulton, I need to come and shake your hand." I was like, "Huh?" He was like, "I pulled out your book first day of school, and I'm reading to my grandson. He takes the book. I take it back. I'm reading. He takes the book again. He points to your picture on the cover and says, 'That's me.' Said, 'I'm gonna read this book and I'm gonna read it to my friends.'" He said my grandson had never seen a book with a black kid on the cover. And so he identified with that in such a powerful way that this man drove from North Carolina, North Carolina to shake my hand. And so it told me we were on the right path. So we're actually working to try to get that series of books done as a cartoon on careers. And so working on that, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 other films. Somewhere on the pile behind me is a binder with a 350-page book called Blueprint, Part 2, She Rose a Hero. So I'll release that next. It's about 77 essays on people like Jeffrey Wright and Leon Malik, also the founder of Netflix, Adam Leipzig, just many of my friends, Vivica Fox, where we tell their story and how they became who they became. And it's not designed to be a fanboy, fangirl kind of publication. It's designed to say, here's a person that most of us respect, and here's what they did, and some of the trials and tribulations they went through, and how they overcame. What you'll find with me is that I'm a person that believes that success is part of how we teach our folk how to go to the next level, how to go to a higher gear. I'm not a person who will tell you, study failure to figure out how to be successful. I'm a person to say, study success to figure out how to be successful. In fact, when I'm on college campuses and high schools, I tell young people, identify 3 or 4 people that you respect and identify the common things that they did, went to college, got jobs in this place, worked with these people, worked in this region, and let that be your blueprint, your map, your blueprint for life, and you'll find that you'll be successful too. Because that's what I did. I had 4 people. I laid out what they did. All of them went to law school. That's why I have a law degree. All of them worked in the Northeast at some point. So that's why I worked at the National Urban League in New York. All of them, I went on to create things. So that's why part of the reason why I created things. And before you know it, you find you're on this trajectory, this path that just delivers more good than bad.
I love that. I love that. Now, I also noticed that I don't know if it was one particular book or several books that you're also transitioning those books into musicals. Am I correct in saying that? Or did you have a, or are you writing musicals as well?
I wrote a musical,
That's what I was.
based on a story that a friend shared about her mom and a friendship she had with August Wilson. It's called From August with Love.
That's what I
Yeah.
read.
And so it's like 13, 14 songs, a two-act show. And it's some beautiful music. And I wake up in the middle of the night and just something happened. I mean, I write songs for my wife. I bust out and start singing in the middle of the night, and she, "Boy, what's wrong with you?" And then she'll give me a hug and tell me go to my office and write it down and come back to bed. And that's
So,
what I
do you sleep? I mean, is some part in there? Do you get some good rest?
need to sleep a little bit more. I try to do 5 to 7 hours a day, a night. Sometimes I'm better at it than others. What I've taken to, and this is not a medical commercial, but I've taken the gummies. With some special ingredients in them to help me to sleep.
Let me sleep. Okay, so we ain't gonna talk about the special ingredients, but we'll let them fill it
Yeah, they can figure it out in their mind.
in. Oh my gosh. Okay, so with all your accomplishments and accolades and achievements, now here's your hard question.
Okay.
What is the legacy that you want to bring to leave behind? Is there a dream behind all of this? Is there something that you want to leave behind in all of this? Because you got a lot going on.
Yes. So I am in alignment with my assignment. And my assignment is to tell these stories to lift our communities. And if people, when I'm 90 years old, say, "Oh, I remember that movie, and I looked at that movie and I went out there and went to college, or I went out and started a business, or I went out and voted. I went out and started my own production company." Then I feel like I will have succeeded because I planted the seed and people that they are enough, that they can do it.
Yeah.
And that, because that was the lesson I had to learn. I was this little brown boy from Hampton, Virginia, going up to these places, big schools and things like that. And I didn't know what I could do. I remember I was at competing for a scholarship at Harvard, and I went up there scared. I thought I was going to see people with big old heads and thick glasses and just dropping the theory of relativity like that, and got a damn old number of regular people. I said, "Man, I've been hoodwinked. I can do this work." Because the biggest challenge any of us have is the person in the mirror. Do I look good enough? Am I big enough? Am I thin enough? Am I tall enough? Am I too short? Am I smart enough? And we carry stuff. I remember it was a beautiful woman like you when I had a crush on when I was about eighth grade, and she was a cheerleader. And I was sitting behind her, just hoping she dropped something I could pick up or would talk to me a little bit. And I got up enough nerve. I said, "How you doing?" And she threw an insult back at me. She was, well, she said, I'll just go ahead and tell you. She said, "Oh, you a nice guy and everything, but you too dark for me." I was, that was before Michael Jordan and Latin Ball got
Right.
all,
Oh,
it was
that's
all
when the
right.
light-skinned guys was in.
Yeah, light skin guy was in, and so I was crushed for 30 years, 30 years. I was impacted by those words. So I wouldn't even approach y'all. I'd be like, "Oh, no, she ain't got no time for me." My wife is beautiful. She was a cheerleader. She a little lighter than me, but she's honey brown. And I'm past the whole color thing. And I'm like, "What? Who, not what are you? Who are you?
Who are
What's
you?
in your heart? Can you make my house a home, baby?
Yeah.
Cause we, you come on, bring it on home to Papa. We're gonna do some things. We're gonna make this world better."
Right.
And so I make sure that she keep a smile on her face, she keep a smile on my face. And we try to spread that joy and that love. So I want people to experience that, because when you love yourself, it's easier to be kind to other people. And a country as rich as ours shouldn't have homeless people, shouldn't have children on the street, shouldn't have anybody on the street, shouldn't have the level of crime against our own communities, crime against others. All this. These things, I think, are symptoms of a sickness. White supremacy is a sickness. Racism is a sickness. This idea of you got to lose so I can win is a failure of imagination. The world is big enough for all of us, but we have to embrace who God made us to be. And each and every one of us has to deal with that. We've got to look that person in the mirror, ourself in the mirror, that hiding out self, that doubting self, and say, "I am enough. I am enough. I can do this, and I'm willing to do the work to have the life I want." God blesses us all to have to turn our dreams and ideas into their tangible equivalents, but you have to have the faith, be willing to do the work, and expect the outcome. And when you do the work and do everything you know how to do, your faith tradition shows up. God, the ancestors show up, and all of a sudden you make it happen. And you put that one foot forward, you put the next foot forward. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, you know what? I was gonna say we're gonna wrap this up, and if you could give some advice to someone, because this is the North Carolina Black Film Festival, if you could give someone some words of encouragement. But I think you may have just given that, unless you want to add something to that.
I'm gonna say one more thing. I'm gonna put the cherry on
Okay,
top.
go ahead, do
Are
that.
you ready? You ready for that?
I'm ready.
The cherry on top. Real talk, serious business. Is my prayer for everybody that hears this message is that I want you to love yourself enough to give your dreams a chance.
There go that cherry. I hope y'all got it. I hope y'all got it. But listen, I want to thank you so much for taking time out, because I know that you're a busy person, and I was just so excited when they said I could have this interview. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much for joining us today. And guess what, guys? We are out of here. I'm going to make sure I leave all of BK Fulton's information at the bottom of the screen so you can check out all of his info, check out all of the exciting things that he is doing. Make sure you come out to the North Carolina Black Film Festival and watch his premiere, right, of his film, of the film.
Yes.
Do that. And so home is where the heart is, and my heart is in North Carolina. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.